And notice, after the blood has been applied, God has this portion from the bullock for the sin of the whole company.
That's open to me.
All the bundling, then the whole bullock is currently without the gun and burned in a clean place. Burned in a clean place.
Now we touch the door.
Now here's something different again. Now the ruler, he's a man of course of consequence.
He's not
a man of consequence. But his offering is just not the bullock standard, but he brings a kid of the goats. But it must be a male. It must be a male. And precisely the same thing is done with the offering for the Lord. For the Lord. What about the blood? Ah, there is a difference. The blood now is not taken into the holy place. Why not? But it touches the altar of burnt offering. You see, the sin of the ruler has not the same far-reaching effects as the sin of the anointed priest. Nor yet the sin of the assembly. He's the ruler. He's the ruler. Or he must bring a meal. What happens to the body of this animal? We're not told in chapter 4. We're not told in chapter 4. Strange, isn't it? Well, that's chapter 6. And so the ruler brings his offering when his son is brought to his notice. Head of the goat, meal, is presented before the Lord. The blood is taken. The blood is applied to the altar of burnt offering. Fat and so on is taken, burnt on the altar of burnt offering. What about the carcass of the animal? We'll see that in a moment. Now we come to one of the common people. The one of the poor will have a difference again. You see, because one of the common people has a lesser effect on the company than the ruler. And so he brings a kid of the goat, a female. Or a lamb, a female. You see, if the others are passive, here's the active. If the others are active, here's the first. Here's the first. If one of the common people sin. Everybody sin. You may have seen the priest do something, and he thought, well, if it's all right for him, it's all right for me. Oh, how particular we should be in our work. How particular we should be in our ministry. And he heard something. That's getting his feet to the bypass. Enemy sin. God has felt it very, very keenly. Only he brings a kid of the goat, a female, or a lamb, a female. And precisely the same thing is done. As that of the ruler. Blood is taken and is not carried into the holy place, but it touches the altar of burnt offering. God has his portion, fat in the inward, placed upon the altar of burnt offering. What about the carcass? You see that. Now something else. When the priest brings his sin offering, when it's offered, according to the word, the blood is God and applied. God has his portion to fat the organs, and the animal is burned. We don't need anything further concerning the priest. But when it comes to the whole assembly, we read this. And it shall make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. When we touch the ruler, and it shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. When we touch one of the common people, the same words, atonement and forgiveness. Why not the priest? Oh, the priest was forgiven. There's no doubt about that. Very same effect of the offering for the common people or the ruler. That was effective for the priest. Other body, you can never again appreciate it if you own them. Why did God mention it? Just because of that. God expects the very highest standard from the priest. His lips should acknowledge his Malachi. That's where the veil, the glory is. God expects the very highest standard from those who take a lead among his people. And go beside them to feel that. That's the priest. No word of forgiveness. They were forgiven doubtless. But how beautifully it comes out. What voice? Ah, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. His blood has been applied. God has had the greatest portion from his life and from his death. God has been perfectly satisfied. The word of 1 John 2 says this, when he's a dream of that case of the Father, Jesus Christ is the answer righteous. That's what we have seen in this several things, isn't it? Without blemish, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now God doesn't expect that to sin. But when we do sin, he has made provision. He made provision for the priest. He made provision for the assembly. For the ruler. For one of the common people. Thank God he has made provision for you and for me. But let us see to it that we do not sin against any of the commandments of the Lord. They are written clear and plain for us. Clear and plain. Now we leave chapter 4. We turn to chapter 6. What do we find? The law on the offering. Now, comprises just a few verses at the end of chapter 6. Speak unto Aaron and his sons. This is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. The sin offering is no less holy before the Lord than the burnt offering. And these words, it is most holy. Or as we have pointed out, it is holy of holies. Rather, never let us belittle the best or wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. There are enough companies abroad today who do not. Let us see to it that we give him this rightful place and we have proper appreciation of his person and his work. Holy of holies. Now, notice verse 26. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, cast your eye down to the last verse. Verse 30. And no sin offering. Now, these are very important words. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tent of meeting to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten there. It shall be burned in the fire. What does it mean, justice? Now, back to chapter 4. Blood of the sin offering for the priest and the blood of the sin offering for the congregation was taken into the holy place. So verse 30 of chapter 6 says it couldn't be eaten. So it was burned without the cup. The antitype we see, of course, in Hebrews 13, that Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his blood, suffered without the gate. Well, we never saw anything about the carcass concerning the ruler or concerning one of the common people in chapter 4. What about it? Well, you see, the blood not being taken into the holy place, the body was not burned outside the camp, but we read this in that verse that we read in there, verse 26, it was eaten. It was eaten. Why should the priest eat the sin offering? Shall I put it like this? The sin offering of the priest affected the whole company. And the sin offering something of one of the sense of one of the common people. Said the priest, I see one more reason. When one of the common people in the company of God's people said, who feels it? The priest will name not feel it. Do the elder brethren not feel it?
Sure.
Do the elder brethren, all the priest will name it all, they will feel it. They will eat the sin offering. That's the meaning. That's the meaning. So the sin offering for the priest and for the company, one without the cup. The sin offering for the ruler, one of the common people, was eaten in a holy place by the priest who offered up the sin offering. Oh, my brethren, that's very sore. Very sore. And God sees fit to call one certain brethren to eat the sin offering of one of the brethren. Very sore. Does it not make us very, very careful in our walk? In our words, in our thoughts. God sees it, God knows it. Instead of one is felt through the company, the priest must eat the sin offering. And when the priest says, the whole company is being the effect of that. Oh, how careful should be. That God is the right thing. When God's right hand, our advocate, our advocate. Just one of you little details in chapter 6. Notice how particular it is. Verse 27. Whatsoever or whosoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. They would not understand a bit of the holiness of the sin offering. That's not said about the burnt offering. No. Said about the sin offering. I see whom we touch the sin offering. We appreciate a little of its value. We appreciate a little of its meaning. And we touch the sin offering. Now we know. Any blood sprinkled thereof upon any garment, it shall be washed, and washed in the holy place. Now look at the next verse. But the earthen vessel wherein it is sodden, the sin offering for the ruler and one of the common people was sodden. And we read here it could be sodden in an earthen vessel or a brazen pot. Now if it was an earthen vessel, immediately the sin offering was sodden, it was broken. It was broken. But if it was a copper vessel, it was scoured and rinsed. Why? God is very, very particular that whatever touches the sin offering is clean. And you see, you couldn't make perfectly clean an earthen vessel. It's porous. And in spite of it, there's something lacking. But with the copper vessel, you would scour it, and it was to be rinsed. There it was brought back to its former cleanness. That's God's idea of the sin offering. Clean, perfect, everywhere. Any vessel used for its cooking, or in the holy place, it must be as clean as God used it on the sin offering. And so we trust that the idea we have now in verse 29, all the males among the priests shall eat thereof, it is holy. The Lord in his present position insofar as saints are concerned. Holy of holies. Oh my brethren. What a serious thing it is to sin against the Lord and sin against the any of his commandments. God looks upon that as a very serious thing. A priest or the congregation or the ruler, one of the common people. Very serious before God. Thank God he has given us the wherewithal that we might be reconciled. Or as it's beautifully put here the expiation of the sin of the offerer, and he is our sin offering. Here it is, perfect provision. May we just be kept free from those things, that when we use the sin offering as a little impossible, when we do so, everything is there, that we might know the joy of restoration, acceptance with God,